Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art with your hosts, David Von Strong and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here is David and Leslie.
Hello! Charlottesville, it is Sunday. It's December 17th. It is cold AF outside.
Yes, it is.
And it is Homegrown, your local show. Oh, your show about local art. I told you I'm rusty. It's been a while.
It's okay.
I'm so happy to be back.
It's okay.
It is I, David Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo.
Oh my god.
And with me as always, my partner in crime, the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Wow, good morning, David. You know, we missed you.
I missed you.
Yes.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
I missed.
Can I just say, you know, I was in a. Well, it was called a training. I don't know if I'm going to call it a training. Last weekend.
Okay.
When I, you know, was not here. And my God.
Speak on this training. What are you talking about? Like security,
you know,
training? Like,
no, it was called like dismantling racism thing. And, you know.
Oh, that should be fun.
It was actually very informative in the beginning. And then, like every other like mixed space where there are black activists and white do-gooders, all the black people in the room became the black oracle of knowledge for the white people. And, you know, it's fine if I know that's what I'm going to be, you know, because I kind of am the black oracle for all my white friends. Like, anytime something happens that they don't get, they all come to me. Like, and you know, okay, I realize that. I acknowledge it. I accept it. But I had not accepted that that's what this was going to be. So when it ended up that way, I was a little miffed.
I understand that. Like,
there was some passivity going on.
Well, there's this liberal approach right now to racism and how it's continued to affect our nation. And it's almost like this kind of like scientific clipboard holding, we're just going to watch black folks from like this kind of this glass, and like observe their outrage and their pain, and like, yes, that's interesting. Oh, talk about that more.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yes. I understand how my people have been horrible. But I think there's this, like, this ignorance to realize that they themselves are pervasive, you know.
They contribute to it.
Yeah.
You know, they contribute to it, they perpetuate it, and then they sit there and go, but I don't know what to do. It's like, it's like, okay, we just spent 2.5 days telling you what you can do.
Or what can I do? What can I do? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. You know, just have some compassion. Just like listen to people.
A little bit. You know, a little bit of compassion. A little bit of thought. A little bit of forethought before, you know, I don't know.
Is that initial banter right there, Clinton?
Yeah. Initial banter on the, the thing.
Yeah. I see it. 10:05. Oh, my God. It's
10:05?
It just hit 10:06.
Oh no!
Our producer is ruling us with an iron fist. He's like, don't anger anybody right now. We have a guest. Focus on them. We've been getting letters.
You know what?
I can't read all of these messages, David.
You know what? He should know better. I mean, there were going to be letters.
It's like you knew what was going to happen.
Like, it's us.
When you saw us walk through the door, it's like, oh, it's going to get.
You knew it.
It's gonna get real black in here. But
it's gonna get real black in here. We're gonna have a blackout.
Homegrown, but but we do have a guest.
We do,
and with our blackness and with our jovial like funness. We always celebrate our guests that come in here. Our first guest is Kristen Chiaccia.
Yes.
She is the exec. Yeah, I got it right. Yes. And with her is also
Ivy on the phone.
Ivy Nate is on the line. Say hi, Ivy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ivy.
What up, though?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, how you doing? Ivy Nate is an artist in the show of Kristen's show called Drawn to Charlottesville. Kristen is also the executive director and chief curator of the Second Street Gallery here in wonderful downtown Seaville.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? And this exhibit is currently running now through January 19th. So, yeah, talk about it. How'd y'all meet? How'd y'all put this together?
So I moved to Charlottesville in September of 2016, and I moved from New York City. I guess after moving to he's telling me to move the mic a bit. Oh, okay. So after moving to Charlottesville, you know, as the new director of Second Street Gallery, I was out meeting a lot of people out in the community, and something that I was finding was that most people that I was meeting were not originally from Charlottesville. There were so many people who had ended up here in one way or another. You know, I was meeting people from England, New York City, you know, other places around, you know, around the country, people from Nigeria, Argentina, Spain. And so that was just really interesting to me. And I really started thinking about what is it that brings people to Charlottesville? Why Charlottesville? Why are
the craft beer?
Craft beer.
Hey, that's
and
a big part of it.
And the vineyards. So.
It was Spud Nuts.
It was Spud Nuts.
And then somebody ruined it.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Now it's the beer and the wine.
Exactly. So when I was planning out this season, my first season as curator at the gallery, I wanted to do something with local artists. I wanted to do something big with local artists. The gallery was started by a group of 10 local artists 44 years ago. So I think it's important not to lose sight of the fact that, you know, Second Street Gallery exists because of local artists. So I wanted to do something with local artists, but I didn't want just a hodgepodge of just a bunch of people. So I wanted some unifying theme. And that's when I came up with the idea of why not do an exhibition with, you know, a bunch of artists who all came to Charlottesville from elsewhere in the world and then just see what kind of art they're doing, what they're doing here in Charlottesville. And that's where the
down
show
here,
came about.
Down here, we call them carpetbaggers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm just playing. Everybody's welcome in Seaville. Yes. It's a wonderful place. Yes. So is there, like, a kind of theme to this exhibit? Or is it just kind of, like,
it's interesting
because stuff?
I mean, the theme is, you know, transplants to Charlottesville, but if you should go and see the exhibition is up until January 19th. And I think when you walk into the exhibition, you'll really see there's, you know, there's uniformity, there's a flow. It really makes sense. And it's really interesting that even though some of these artists are so different, the way I've installed it and curated the show, it really makes sense.
That's
together.
Awesome.
You know, it really flows, you know, one artist into the next, and
nice.
It just really makes a lot of sense. So it's kind of hard to explain. I think you really need to go and
I want to get to you, Ivy, but I do want to talk about that when you talk about, like, arrangement mm-hmm.
Exhibition?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those
one.
Things.
Yeah.
You know,
that word.
I have concepts, but not words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on, like, 23 hours of just being up in 2 hours of sleep.
We know you.
Yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you. So when you arrange an exhibit like that, what's the certain flow that you're looking for?
So I've been putting together exhibitions. Probably I was director of Edward Tyler Nahum in New York City for 13.
Ooh, you fancy.
13 and a half years. And so I am fancy, or at least I used to be.
Right. Nah, you're still fancy, girl.
Fancy.
Okay. But, you know, we did a lot of exhibitions there. We did a lot of art fairs. And so with every exhibition, we had actually, and something that I did for this show is I make a maquette, a scale model of the show, and I start putting together. And I think with this exhibition, there are probably about, you know, 20 different iterations of how I set up the show until I actually decided, okay, this is what fits. And it's something that you really have to learn through experience. You can't necessarily take a class and this is how to curate an exhibition. You really have to do it. And so I've been doing it for so long, and I think, you know, I guess I'm, you know, I'm good at what I I do. I've gotten really good. I have a good eye
to toot your own horn every once in a while.
You know, I've learned to look at things in a certain way, and I do think I learned a lot at my old gallery, and you know, it's just something I've learned, and so cool. I have a certain eye for something. So I really think, I mean, again, not to toot my own horn, but I really think you can really see a difference in the exhibition since I've been there at Second Street. There's something a little more maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say professional because they were always very professional exhibitions, but I think I do something in a way that brings a little bit of New York from the way I light it to the way I do the signage. It's very polished. I think maybe that's what it is. And you can really tell when you go into the gallery and
that's
see
right.
that.
Check it out. If you want that New York art life,
yes.
you come to Second Street. So we got Ivy Nate on the phone. What's up?
Sorry. Can you guys hear me? It's a little bit horrible.
I can hear you. Okay. Can you?
We can hear you. Okay.
Cool. So, you're an artist in the exhibition. Talk about that. Where are you from, first of all, and how'd you hook up with Kristen?
So I split my time between New York City and Seville. I am an artist. I was introduced to Kristen through mutual friends who knew I was an artist. And had just recently met Kristen when she started at Second Street. So we just started talking. I guess at the time, Kristen was working through her head and meeting a bunch of people that had been transplants or do what I do and split their time. And she must have been, working it through in her head. And it must have been just kismet that it all kind of fell into place for me, for Second Street. And I'm really, really happy to be part of it. I'm thrilled to be part of it.
Awesome.
And actually, I think Ivy was probably the artist who first inspired the idea, like concretely for the exhibition. I really, after being introduced to Ivy, I just thought her work was fantastic and I wanted, to involve her in the gallery in some way. And then I thought, well, yeah, here's an artist from New York who's now spending time in Charlottesville and Why not do a whole show with artists? So Ivy was a bit of the
Thank
inspiration.
You. Thank you, Chris.
can either of you speak on that further? Like what New York does in terms of art and setting it up and lighting and how that differs from what you see in a regular exhibit and what you do with that. You know what I'm saying? How does New York
do it? Me or to Kristen? I didn't hear you.
It's been a long night. how does New York differ from Charlottesville in terms of the exhibit and how it's set up? You said you came in.
How you do your art? I mean,
right.
I'm sure the audience in New York is very different from the audience
it's
in Charlottesville.
Very different.
And
actually,
no matter what we do, everything is about our audience.
I'm going to stop you right there. It's actually not different at all. I would say
that's interesting.
Surprisingly, the people that I have met in Charlottesville, again, I've been there for a few years, but I don't know an enormous amount of people. But it is so sophisticated. It is so welcoming. It is so engaged. It is so sophisticated. It's really not an art lover, an art appreciator. They're one and the same. It doesn't matter, where your zip code is. So I really don't notice a difference. I mean, Kristen, you also could speak to this because I'm in my studio most of the time. I don't see, people out in the gallery as much as you would, but I wouldn't say that I noticed the difference between people enjoying and observing and engaging in New York City versus in Charlottesville. To me, art is art. I don't care where you put it. And if you like it and you get it and you're into it, and it's irrelevant what zip code it's in.
Awesome. I kind of like that, we can be seen as just as sophisticated
we
as
just
New
as
York
good.
Really.
Yeah, we just as good.
That's a little heartwarming,
Same with theater. We got right? we got mm-hmm. much better theater at times
there you
than
go.
Than New York does.
The
Stop it, Clinton. What are you doing? What are you doing over there?
Just clearing my throat. throat.
Yeah, I hear you clearing your throat.
He was not clearing his throat.
Although
sarcasm over there.
I do see there, you know, the difference, though, that I see between Charlottesville and New York is that Charlottesville is a lot more family-friendly. And so I get a lot of, you know, kids coming into the gallery and a lot more families. And in New York, you know, sometimes I would be surprised after knowing someone for 7 years that, oh, they have children, because you would never see them. They would always be with the au pair or the nanny or something.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah.
We got them,
so,
too.
And they would never, you know, they would never bring, you know, they weren't bringing their children to the gallery as much. And I think that's really cool about Charlottesville is that they're bringing their kids to the exhibition, and the kids are really engaged and they ask really good questions. And so that's something that I've adjusted to here, but I'm really enjoying that, you know, it's a whole different audience that you're appealing to, too.
That's so. Right. Second Street Gallery for the kids. We're going to come right back with Kristen Chachia and Ivy Nate, talking more about Second Street, talking about art, drawn in Charlottesville. This is Homegrown. Drop! 18 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
And you're 18 minutes late.
So late. Saying. So late.
I'm just saying, you've missed 18 minutes of the show. Set an alarm, people.
So you've pretty much missed all of the show. It's like a Law and Order episode. Like, you're just lost, and you don't know what's going on. Bing, ding, down.
Can we please get that?
We're already to the trial. We already, like, arrested the person. Like, we're moving along.
Arrested.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
We figured it out. Kristen Chacha.
Guess that's one art critic that's down.
Consider this closed.
Oh, my God.
Drawn to Charlottesville. 12 local artists from not-so-local areas currently running now through January 19th at the Second Street Gallery. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I really didn't have a lead-in question.
He had nothing.
You got to help me out.
So can I throw in a question for Ivy?
Yeah.
Ivy?
Is Ivy still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
She's hard to hear, but I'm here.
So to speak specifically about your installation, can you talk about can you describe it for people who haven't seen it yet? And two, can you talk about what was behind that? What inspired you? Do you consider it found art? I mean, what do you think?
Oh, my piece itself in the show?
Yeah.
I consider, 100% of my work is donated items. So in the show is a large installation. I guess it's hard to kind of describe on radio, but it's a large installation of colorful thrown away stuffed animals. And I have arranged them in a way that gives them a second shot at life. So when I get them, they're thrown away in garbage bags, some with tags, some, you know, with tears. And when I reassemble them, kind of listen to them, kind of hear their story, hear where they want to be, where they need to be, and I give them a new life, and up they go. And the large one is sitting in Second Street, and they are happy as a clam to be together as a new family. And you could see it on them. And there's another one of them in Hong Kong, and shipping off my guys that were throwaways to Hong Kong. And, you know, look, they're living their life. And so some guys are living their life in Hong Kong. Some guys are living their new life in Charlottesville. And I'm into it.
And to the layman, i.e. myself, I guess found... The definition of found art would be art that is either donated or, like, you know, dug out of a dumpster or something and, like, glued to canvas or something like that. Is that the accurate definition of
it? Well, I'm not a dumpster diver, but 100% of my stuff is thrown away. Yeah.
I like how she said that. She's like, I don't be going in dumpsters and stuff, but if you want to give me some stuff, hey, I'm cool with that.
I'm with you, girl.
I ain't about that life. I have.
So I love how the piece that we're talking about, there are some friends in here. Like, there are stuffed animals from our childhoods in here, like from you know, Sesame Street and like,
I know.
Yeah.
Like,
it reminds me.
No, but I also love
some of them are hard to part with. Like, I look and I'm like, oh darn, I'm giving away Bert. Like, I'd like to hang on to him for a while, but like,
right?
You got some collectibles in there.
Time. Yeah. There were some that are sometimes I do pick out some of them and I pull them aside and I'm like, no, you're not ready yet. Like, I need a little more time with you. But some of them, like, yeah, like, right. Like, they're my own child. And there's some I don't know. And then even at Second Street on the opening night, there was a little girl. She was like, that's da-da-da. And I was like, I don't even know that name, but like, it was a different generation. And they were like, that's, you know, she had to tell me some of their names, but some of them are my generation. Some are the generation before.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
And I love how you have arranged it, like the color scheme of the entire installation. So it's like,
thank you.
So I'm sorry, it's 8 feet tall, right? And 13 feet wide. Is that correct?
Approximately.
Kristen.
Yeah, right, it's Kristen? Approximately, because that's the size of the panels. And then right. Ivy, then after we installed the work, you know, you add on to
right.
So it's bigger than that. So that's it's variable, but that's approximately the size. So it's huge, and it's, you know, we have the right. windows right across from it. So people have been just losing their minds.
Yeah.
They, you know, will be walking by, and you know, we are installing the work, and these little kids, mommy, mommy, look, look, and right. And also these kids, they can't believe that this is, you know, it's so cool and it's art. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting, you know, the kids come in and explaining to them that, yeah, this is a work of art.
Yes. And don't touch it.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the biggest thing.
At the opening, we lost a watermelon.
We recovered it.
It's since been repaired. But we, you know, you put lines on the floor, like, don't, you know.
And that child is in jail right now.
And people, yeah. Well,
oh, no.
You got to learn. You got to hammer these kids.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You break it, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. There you go. That's a much better.
That's right. And you pay the fines and all the court fees.
Yes, yes. So.
No, but I love the color scheme in what you did. Like, there, it's not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily follow a gradient of color, but it's, there's like a flow of color through it. Is
Thank
that
you.
Something that is present in all of your work, this vibrant color?
Yes. Well, there, this series is, but there's other works that are not at Second Street yet.
Yet.
But, yet, exactly.
Yet, coming, yeah. Little teaser.
Tease. That are not as vibrant as this one. But this series particularly is a lot about a color study. I mean, yeah, and it's interesting.
It's also interesting, this entire exhibition is just very vibrant and colorful, which is a big juxtaposition for my last exhibition, which was primarily black and white drawings. So, you know, we had all these black and white. It was a very dark exhibition. It was called,
was that a conscious choice to be like, I need some more color in the next one?
Not I mean, you know, look at me.
I don't want to say nothing.
But it just, you know, I think that might also represent kind of a difference between New York and Charlottesville too, because my first show was very me, very New York, very black and white, very dark. It was it was a Paul Brainerd exhibition. My Body is a Grave was the name of the show. And then I wanted to do something very Charlottesville, and it's very bright and colorful and just a different kind of energy. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, not to lose sight of my New York roots, but I think I am, you know, I'm moving.
She's assimilating.
Right. I'm assimilating a bit, so.
Yeah. Next time we have her in, she's going to be wearing like this yellow skirt.
Right. Burlap
flowers. No, we won't go that far. although it's funny, in the gallery, all the artists are, you know, showed up at the opening all wearing black. All my interns wear black now. I think I'm rubbing off on people.
So. Good. That's a good mesh to have.
Yes.
Awesome. So. Kristen, thank you so much
for
coming
on the show.
Me.
Oh,
yeah. Two minutes.
Oh, we have 2 minutes left.
No, Leslie thought it meant peace. Like, you out of here. Like,
I didn't see a sign.
No,
nothing was said to me.
No.
And I should also mention that in addition to the exhibition being up until January 19, we have some events coming up dealing with the exhibition. We're going to do an artist lunch on January 10th. We'll have Ivy speaking at the lunch, as well as artists Clay Witt, Megan Marlatt, Sarah Boyd-Schioder, and Brielle Duflon, who are also artists in the exhibition. It will be catered by Feast. find information on our website. Mm-hmm. Come to that. And then we're going to, on the 13th, we're going to have a Indian miniature painting workshop where you can come and learn from another artist in the show, Murad Mumtaz, and he will be teaching. He does these amazing miniature paintings, and you can come and learn how to, and it's for, you know, beginners to experts. So
cost?
You know, the cost of that, $75 for general public, $65 for members.
Cool.
So, and the cost of lunch, $15 for everyone, $10 for members.
And do you have a list, like, list of the local artists that are featured in this current Drawn to Charlottesville exhibit?
Want me to just name
them? Yeah, shout them out.
So there's Steve Taylor, Balanle Adeboye, Ivy Nate, Megan Marlatt, Clay Witt, Sarah Boyd Schroeder, Chris Danger, Amy McDavitt.
I love Amy!
Chicho Lorenzo.
Chicho is awesome too.
Murad Mumtaz and Brielle Duflan.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
I heard, and Juan Manuel Granados. We cannot forget Juan.
He's right. Awesome.
So basically, David is hype now, and he's going.
I'm hype. Yeah. Amy's there. I'm there.
Yeah.
All right. No, I love that picture of Ivy Nates. It reminds me of that Simpsons poster with all the characters.
Yes.
But yeah, it's great. Chris and Chacha, so thankful for you to be on the show.
Thank
Please
you.
Come back
Thank
next
you for
time
having me, yes.
In your colorful outfit.
Yeah.
And it will be.
David just wants to see you in yellow flowers.
Thank you, Ivy.
Keep dreaming.
Thank you for speaking on. And we're going to have you back too, hopefully in person.
I'll be down. I hope you guys come for lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Just lunch.
Feast. There's an exclamation point at the end, so that's why you have to feast.
Yes.
All right. So we going to do some stuff? Am I going to start?
Some stuff?
Yeah.
We're going to
make announcements. I don't hear no music. All right.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
What are we doing? All right.
Yeah,
just some
that
of the artistic events happening this week. Yeah. Currently. January 19th. Drawn to Charlottesville, a group of show of 12 local artists being shown at Second Street Gallery. Now, I never hear the music. January 16th, Plugi Roo Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean, 21 works by contemporary indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UK's Clark Hall. Bang! January 6th, Sweet Charity at Live Arts. 29th, UVA student Kristen Henreich presents her work Transient Places at the New City Arts Project. Now through December 27th, the American Shakespeare Center presents its holiday season with the Christmas Carol and a new holiday play for them, Every Christmas Story Ever Told, parentheses and then some, and parentheses, at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Currently running now through December 22nd, Charlottesville Ballet's The Nutcracker at the V. Earl Dickinson Building. I've heard of that. At Piedmont Virginia Community College. Also December 20th, open mic night at the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute. All artists welcome, poets, spoken word, writers, singers, musicians, dancers, actors, comics, visual artists, magicians, basket weavers, didgeridoo performers. All y'all. Y'all can come out. All y'all. And for your music options this week.
Ooh, the music options. Oh my God, so many. Today, Bayou Faux Pas plays Cajun music for your brunch at Fellini's. Enjoy guitar and washboard folk tunes and originals with Nick and Joe at the Batesville Market at 1:30. Washboard, man. I haven't heard a washboard in a minute.
Yo.
Like, okay.
Washboard freestyle.
Can they do that? Cat Summers at the Wildwood Brewery. Mojo Pie at Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. The Central Virginia Blues Society Electric Jam at Star Hill Brewery and Tap Room. Full Tone to the Max at James River Brewery at 4 p.m. Tomorrow, Metcalf Pierce Tango Project at the Bebedero. The 19th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. The 20th, Matt Metcalf puts aside his accordion. Thank goodness. No, nothing against you, Matt, but accordion, really. And sits at the piano at Fellini's. December 21st, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar. Sarah White and Friends Christmas Show with Ned Oldham at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Michael Ellswood Gathering at Fellini's. Ugly Sweater Party, Part 1. There's a
there's
a part one to the. Oh my God! With Ethan Lipscomb, Playdate, and DJ Thomas Dean. I'm not buying an ugly sweater just to go to a party. I'm just telling you that right now. But
you gotta come equipped with ugly sweater. I can't. Nah, that's too much.
Because I can't buy something that I'm never gonna wear again.
Well, they got cheap ugly sweaters because they know you're only gonna wear it for like 2 days in a year.
Ew, though. Okay, anyway. December 22nd, Stand Spectacle in Mirth presents a solstice cabaret, a benefit for their shared art space, The Kettle. Jen Tall and the husband at Wild Wolf Brewery. Husband spelled with a Z, people. So.
That's the husband.
Bob Bonetta and Ben Israel Bailey at Fellini's. Also on December 22nd, Coda Curl and the Duncan All-Stars at the Whiskey Jar. Irish Matthew has a sing-along at the
Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Ugly Sweater Party Part 2. Hip-Hop Night with Richmond's DJ Sir RJ and our own DJ W.
DJ Ray!
Now, I have to go to the Ugly Sweater Part 2 because it's also DJ W's birthday.
What?
He a Christmas baby.
Okay. And so maybe you can buy him an ugly sweater when you get yourself
one. I'm not going to buy him an ugly sweater.
When you get yourself one.
An ugly sweater.
No. I'm just saying. You could get two for one deal. Because I'm sure they'll have it by then.
No, I'm not doing it. I already told him I'm not doing it. I'm going to come to his birthday. But, you know.
You're not festive.
December 23rd. Willie D.E. at Amaral Ciderworks. Vincent Zorn at the Bebedero. Choose Your Own Adventure at the Whiskey Jar. That doesn't sound like a band.
That could be really bad. Oh, I thought it was an actual, like, choose your own adventure.
No, it's a band. Because this is the music. Yeah, okay.
Sons I want to do a bank heist.
Sons of Villain Friends Christmas Party with Carl Anderson. Oh, my goodness. Every Friday morning, West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Seafoot, the weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Say that five times fast. Every Tuesday, the traditional session at the
Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Every Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and the Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. Every Wednesday, here we go. Here's the long list. Open mic night at the Pro Ray Nana Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 and Fellini's number 9.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the Ante Room, presented by the Charlottesville Southside Club.
Boom!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Boom!
And the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Bang!
Every Thursday we have Lua at the Bebedero.
What?
And every Thursday,
John Durth
at Miller's. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. That was a long list.
Oh, and the Seville Micro series on December 23rd at the African
22nd. Yes.
22nd at the African American Heritage Center that Friday.
Oh, by the way, today, auditions for
Joe Turner. Today, December 17th at 7 o'clock at the African American Heritage Center.
At 2 o'clock today.
2 o'clock.
At Jefferson School. 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Booyah.
All right.
Bet.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You were listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
Hey, stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest is Santa.
No!
I'm guessing he's going to be talking about Santa-related things. I think it's about the political climate in Charlottesville. What we can do to ease racial tension.
He's got a lot of naughty people on his list.
He's been paying attention. He's been watching all the city council meetings. I think it's going to be a really powerful show.
There's a lot of coal going to be happening.
Yeah, this is a don't miss Sunday morning wake-up call.
That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. I'm hoping he's bringing an elf with him.
Me too.
And maybe a reindeer.
I was there on A-12.
No, you know what? I saw a reindeer earlier in the parking lot, and I didn't even put that together. Like I saw it, and I was like,
it's getting problematic. I'm seeing like deers in the suburbs now. Like facts, like I just see them like run across the street, like when I'm in residential zones.
Well, our good friend Sean McCourt saw an albino deer in his
what?
Yard. Yes, albino. You know that sucker's dead by now, but because it was like 2 weeks ago. But yeah, an albino.
That's my deer. White whale. We got Sarah White on the phone.
Woo!
Sarah White, She does some things. She does the Sarah White and Friends Christmas show with Ned Oldham. It is going down December 21st at... Sarah?
Yeah?
Hey, how you doing today?
Okay, I can hear you.
Oh, awesome. I can hear you, too. Okay. Where's your show going down, Sarah?
The show is at the Southern Cafe.
Ah!
Call on the Downtown Mall in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Charlottesville, Virginia on December 21st. Where are you calling from, Sarah?
I am calling from my beautiful apartment in Church Hill, Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
Oh, I used to live in Church Hill.
All right, y'all brave.
Yep.
No, actually, you know what?
Has it gotten better?
Church Hill is a lovely little neighborhood, as long as you don't walk alone at night.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I love it. I can look over and look at the river. I can walk by the pie shop. I can walk to work. I can do all kinds of things in Church Hill.
So what street are you on?
27th and Broad.
Oh, okay. Because I was all the way down in Church Hill. I was on Chimborazo Street.
Oh, yeah. You were really living in Church Hill.
Yeah, I was really living in Church Hill.
Do you know Tyreek and Apartment 3B? No, I'm just playing.
Stop it.
I'm playing. So, Sarah, you've been doing the show for how long now in Charlottesville?
You know, I was trying to figure this out the other day, and I need a little more help these days. I think this might be 15 or maybe 14.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to look back at some old posters. You know what? I'll get you an update. I'll update you.
No problem. So it's kind of like a Charlottesville thing, you would say. It's kind of like a traditional Charlottesville event.
You know, it has really turned into that. It started out, you know, it's always been a little bit of the Acorn Sisters and a little bit of Jim Wave and a little bit of a lot of people have played the Christmas show. And let's see. Yeah, it started out, we did it at the Tea House back when that place was first opening.
Mm.
We moved it to the Southern. We've had it at a few other places around town over the years. What was that motorcycle place that someone opened down on? Oh, my God.
The East Buddhist High. Biker Bar?
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was the Black Market Moto.
Oh, yeah, that was after it was Buddhist, yeah. I believe, yeah.
Yeah, well, we opened that place. We had it there before it was open, and I swear to God, there were people riding motorcycles around inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
During the show, which I, of course, panicked and said, this is probably not safe. Let's not do that. Cooler heads did not prevail, and it happened. There was a motor derby in the middle of it.
They were just feeling the spirit, Sarah. They were just feeling that,
you know,
that Christmas
got
spirit.
To them.
Yeah.
So for the whole time you've done this, you've always had musician friends do the show with you. So you mentioned Jim Wave. What are some of the other like notable Charlottesville musicians that you've had over the years?
Well, we've had openers. We've had people open the show just for a little something before the rest of the show. So there's been, let's see, Barling and Collins played it. Paul Carreri played it. Ned Oldham is playing it this year, but he also played it with his band called Old Calf many years ago, which includes like Michael Clem and some folks like that. I heard Michael on the radio a minute ago.
Yes.
Let's see. You know, I'm still on my first cup of coffee here.
That's okay. I haven't had any coffee yet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I already said Paul Carreri, BC. I've already said everyone like that. I'm totally dropping the ball on some people.
No, no worries. Okay. So,
Luke Wilson did it last year, I believe. Luke Wilson, the younger brother of the Sons of Bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Sally Rose Band did it.
I love Sally.
Yeah, she and her mom, Captain Monez, and Sally, and maybe the other sister, I don't know, which I'm trying to get them to come do a little act with me this year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's all still working down to the last minute, of course, as usual. but that's okay. It all seems to come together. So yeah, when I moved to Richmond, it sort of changed a little bit. I'd always kind of wanted to do it more with the Acorn Sisters with a backing band. So at some point, I just sort of got this backing band together and turned it more into a show with a bunch of country songs, and then have like special guests like the Acorn Sisters come up and do some, and Jim Wave often comes up and does some. He's not on the bill this year. I can't say if there might be a surprise visit. I can't say that.
Oh, but we're hoping, right?
There might be. I don't know. I can't say that.
But we're hopeful. But it is Christmas, after all.
She came in with a Star Wars teaser. That's nuts. So Sarah, like, why did you start this show in the first place? Why, what impetus did you have to, like, be like, hey, I'm going to do a Christmas show with friends for the past, like, 15 years? Like, talk about that. What made you, like, want to start doing this in the first place?
Well, I think it was me and Jim and Sean Richard sitting around at the tea house and had this idea to put on a show. And we had even that first year, we had a lot of different people come up and do different songs. I mean, it morphed into what it is. It didn't, no one sat there with the intention that we'd be doing this years later.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
right.
Even that it would sort of morph into what it's been for the past couple years, which is really me with a band and then having all the people come up instead of, it used to be like three different distinct sets, and now it's more like one big long set with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Kind of for variety's sake, to be honest. Just wanted to sort of change it up a little bit. But I really recall that, and I recall making the first poster for it, which was just a really big sheet of turquoise paper, and I drew the biggest picture of Dolly Parton with the biggest picture of her biggest assets on this big poster and put it in the window of the tea house, and then it happened.
Well, there you go.
Well, that'll bring people in.
I'm telling you.
All right. So on that note, we're going to do a drop. We're going to come right back with Miss Sarah White. We're talking about Sarah White and Friends Christmas show with Ned Oldham on December 21st. This is Homegrown. Drop! 46 minutes past the hour. You just tuning in. This here is Homegrown.
DeAndre,
94.7 WPVC. The Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. How y'all doing? I don't know what's going on. Homegrown is brought to you by the fine law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, White & Burke. Legal services, like a song. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. What is wrong with us? With your host, Rick Moore.
Sleep deprivation.
His guest is Santa. He'll be answering all the questions.
But no one can sit in his lap without signing a release.
Yeah.
You know, even Santa is,
really,
you know, worried about all of these allegations.
And a waiver, you know.
Anything
can happen.
He's got to keep the North Pole running.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
He's wearing a body cam just in case.
On the up and up.
Any questions? All right. but we're talking with Sarah White about the Sarah White and Friends Christmas show.
Right.
Ned Oldham is going to be opening this joint December 21st at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. So, Sarah, is it just only Christmas songs that these people will be playing? Or is it going to be a variety of songs with Christmas mingled in between? Or is it just not going to be Christmas at all? It's just going to be whatever.
You know, I'm trying to think if there's even a Christmas song this year.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, there are a couple Christmas songs. It is not a traditional Christmas song. Do not be afraid. It is not a traditional Christmas song show. There are, when we kind of started it, at least for the Acorn Sisters aspect, we liked any kind of song that we do, like some sentimental songs like at the end of the year when you're feeling grateful or maybe sad because you lost someone, or just like, so I mean, we do a couple songs that are Christmas themed, but really any song that had an angel in the title, any song that had snow in it, any song like that, we would turn it into a Christmas song. So you know, it's sort of wide open. You know, it's a little mix of both, but I just like, for me, it's just kind of like a dream to, I've got all these, great musicians to play this year. And last year, past couple years, I guess, like, a backing band that's, Ian Gillum is playing guitar, and he's pretty, I mean, you know, he's amazing. And Charlie Bell's playing pedal.
Oh, wow.
And Jake Hopping is playing stand up bass. And Anna Matajasic Hennessy is playing some fiddle. And
Clinton in the back over here is losing his mind.
Andy Thacker is going to play some mandolin. So,
oh my God.
So it's like the super group of Charlottesville.
And then I pick all these crazy country songs that I've always wanted to do. And if I can make it relate any way to Christmas, I will. I'm brave.
Okay, now I have to go. I absolutely have to go because there's a stand-up bass and a mandolin. Like it's now a moral imperative.
Yeah, you have to go also for the decorations. At this point, I have accumulated about 3 storage containers worth of Christmas ephemera.
Really?
Or let's just say shiny lights and twinkly things.
So, there's going to be bling?
It's getting crazy up in there, and it's usually quite a spectacle. I hope I can keep... It's hard to keep it getting bigger, you know, like there's not enough room to fit anymore.
Yeah. So fair warning to everybody, you will leave covered in tinsel and glitter.
Some glitter is going to happen.
So you've been doing the show for 14, 15 years. What makes this show different from the rest? What are you bringing to this show on December 21st at the Southern that's going to be different from all of the other Sarah White and Friends Christmas shows?
Oh, what's going to be different this year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the songs are always a little bit different. There's some of them that we always do, and then they always change. What's going to be different this year? I've got a Hawaiian theme going, so that's going to be different.
Okay.
Okay, not for the whole show, but let's just say I'm trying to get some island themes into the Christmas show this year. They won't let me bring sand into the Southern. You know, I had a contract for a dump truck load full of sand, and I was going to do like a white Christmas.
That'd be awesome.
I just want to see the setup for that.
Could not get that approved, so you know, I'm just going to bring in some potting soil, and put that on the ground, and hope people want to play in that. I'm just kidding, of course, but but yeah, I don't know. It's always special every year. It's just like a lot of the same people come now, like. There's always room for more, but there's like sort of there's the staple. I have a lot of family that comes, and frankly, they won't let me not do the show, even though I moved away. you know, but it's so much fun, and it's such a pleasure to do. There's always some beautiful songs. People always cry. People always laugh. I mean, what's going to be different this year? I'm not sure. They might have changed the cookie recipe.
There are cookies too.
There are cookies. That sort of turned into a thing. Unfortunately, my parents have been they're trapped now making cookies for it.
Right.
Technically, of course, I can't say that there will be cookies because that would break, you know, the law.
Right.
Just like I can't say if there's going to be a certain country cowboy that may or may not pop by for a song, but there may or may not be some cookies.
There may or may not be. Well, Sarah, thank you.
Chocolate chip, if anyone, you know.
Cookie teaser. There may or may not be cookies. Sarah White, thank you so much for being on the show. And hey, if y'all don't play Grandma Got Hit by a Reindeer or Run Over by a Reindeer,
really?
Then I'm starting a riot.
That's the one you want?
Yeah, duh.
Okay, all right.
It's the best, like, Christmas song ever.
That's the best Christmas song ever?
I'm totally being facetious, but okay. It's up there. It's up there.
It is up there.
And I'm sure Sarah can bring it with that country feel. Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show. You coming back?
Am I here? Wait, huh?
No, I mean, will you be coming back in the future when you do another show? Maybe another Christmas show next year, or maybe before that.
Next year I'll do another Christmas show.
Okay.
I'm playing at the Jefferson on the 27th.
Okay.
And that'll just be me solo.
December 27th.
I guess it'll be post-Christmas show. I'll probably do my original music that I do instead of, like, country cover songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right on.
But I'm excited about that. That'll be a lot of fun. But I can only really think about one thing at a time. you know, like my next cup of coffee and then getting in the car to come down there later and rehearse today. And
then, yes, have
and
the coffee before
Thursday,
that.
Thursday, you know, is the winter solstice, so it is the longest day of the year, which is going to make for a great show. And the doors, let's see, the doors to the cafe are at 6, and I think the doors to the venue or 7:30. We're starting right at 8 with Ned Oldham, and he's going to do some stuff. He's got a new record out, and we start around 8:30, 8:45, and we don't go too late. You know, it's you know, we're trying to keep it reasonable. Yeah, it's a good time.
Give a damn's busted. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on.
Take it easy, Sarah.
Thank you for having me. This was very convenient. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We appreciate you. Take it easy now.
Whoo! That was a lot of stuff. We did a lot of stuff today.
We did.
On
we did.
Show.
Yeah. We covered a lot of bases.
Are you okay?
No, I'm good. I'm like, I can David's almost pass
kinda,
out now.
Right? David's about to go to bed. David has decided he's going to bed.
No, I'm good.
He's sleepy.
And now, Leslie's weekly rant.
All right, people. I need you to settle in. I need you to settle in. I need you to stop whatever you're doing. Put the phones down. Unless you're, of course, watching the live feed. And I need you to concentrate. Men especially. I need you to concentrate. Because I am going to explain it to you. Okay? I'm gonna lay it out for you. It's going to be very simple. When you are in a working environment with an attractive woman, the only acceptable thing for you to do, if you are interested in said woman, would be to ask her on a date. Okay? It's really that simple. You ask her on a date, she says yes or she says no. If she says no, there is no reason for you to bring any of that crap up ever again. None. You understand me? None. None. Nada. Zilch. All right? If she says yes, that's cool. Go on the date. Try your hardest to be a gentleman. Okay? There's no need. I know, you know, with the sexual revolution is, you know, still ongoing and everybody likes to, like, jump in bed, all, you know, first date, all that. But, you know, try and be a gentleman. Be nice to her. Because guess what? You got to see her at work the next day. All right? And if you mess up, you know everybody at work gonna know, right? You know that because, you know, that's what we do. We gossip a lot about y'all. A lot. So what I'm saying is, now, see, my Nana always told me, never poop where you eat. And I have always tried to adhere to that because I say tried. I've not always been successful. Not always been successful. But I have tried to adhere to that because it makes things complicated. You know? 60% of relationships. I know. 60% of relationships start at work. But it doesn't mean they should.
Nope.
Doesn't mean they have to. And I'm sorry, why are you trying to date somebody that you have power over at work anyway? That's like asking for trouble. It is asking for trouble. Okay? Now, the other part of this is women. I'm specific. You know what? I have a problem with this chick that accused Al Franken. I have a problem with her. The man said he gonna take a shower. Why you go over to his house? Why? If you're not interested, why are you going to the man's house when he gonna take a shower? You know he's gonna be naked. If you don't want to see him naked, why are you in his house? I'm just saying. That's just common sense. Where did the common sense go? Where did the common sense go? Why you people stop using your darn brains? That's all of it. Use your brains, okay? Please. Please. You know somebody a little weird, a little prickly, a little tender at work? Why are you making a comment about their dress? Why are you making a comment about the legs? Why? You could just say hello. I'm just saying. Please. You know what I'm saying? Use your brains, people. Use your brains. Stop dating people you work with. And then you won't have to worry about nothing. Lord. go to a bar. Everybody else does it. Go to a bar. Meet a girl at church. Ask your mama to introduce you to somebody. Lord, if you're that hard up. I'm just tired. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of these. I'm tired of it.
I'm tired too.
As a
male identifying person, I think that we should just start listening to females and femmes and stop talking so much.
Ooh,
and that's
baby,
all I gotta say.
Thank you for saying that. I just love you.
I try. We'd like to thank our guests, Kristen Chacha, Ivy Nate, Sarah White. Coming up next Sunday morning, Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore, talking to Santa. Santa, St. Nick, St. Nicholas, Russian operative? I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Russian operative?
This is Homegrown. We'll see y'all next week. Love y'all. Peace.
Please have snow and mistletoe. Presents underneath the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love lights gleam. Big Christmas show. And I was like up on stage, there were all these lights and paper chains, and I was naked. And I turned around, and there was Charlie Bell. Everybody else showed up. And there was Jake Hopping. And Anna Matajasic. And this other guy. Ian Gillan.
Oh, yeah.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.